Welcome to the Kerwin Baptist Church broadcast today. Our desire is for the Word of God to be spread throughout the world so that all may know Christ. Join us now for a portion of one of our services at the Kerwin Baptist Church located in Kernersville, North Carolina.
I'm going to ask you, if you wouldn't mind, to turn to Exodus chapter 18. We are going to begin there. Rarely do I preach on these particular subjects, and rarely do I have you turn a lot in your Bible. But I want to ask you to treat today a little bit different. I want this to be an educational time. This is a Sunday morning, and I know that. But I do know that God's laid this on my heart, and I do know that this is important. And I do know that we need this. So if you can do me the favor, get your fingers, pop those knuckles, get them ready today. And I'm going to take you back and forth through some scripture. We have to start from the beginning. And we're going to bring it all the way up today to our present day and time. How did we stray? Why are we in this mess? Why is it, and I've had people ask this, why is it that the best America could come up with is who we have to vote for in different races and different positions and different things? I want to answer that today. We've got to take it through the Old Testament here of how did we stray? Let me mention this as they're finishing up those, just for last minute. This is for all of our senior saints. That is 50 years of age and older, I believe. It's kind of a last minute schedule thing because we've had such a full schedule over the next few weeks. But November the 3rd, that gives you about a week and a half notice. We are taking a trip, taking our senior saints to the mountains to look at leaves, take you out to eat. It'll be a fun day. And that will be November the 3rd. That's not this week, but the next one is that next Thursday. I think we have 55 seats on the bus. And we'll take other transportation if needed also along with that. But I encourage you to sign up. Sign up sheets at the desk. That's for all of our senior saints. You enjoy that day, and we got some fun things planned for that day. That's all I'll say about that. We'll leave that morning, get back, 3 or 4 o'clock, somewhere in there, not too late. And it won't cost you a dime unless you buy stuff. Now, we'll get your food, but we ain't getting your trinkets, okay? You have to get that yourself. And but you'll enjoy the day, and that's November the 3rd, so please sign up for that. All right, let's pray. Lord, we need your help today. And Lord, I know you've asked me to do this. So Lord, I pray that you would bless your word as you always do. In Jesus' name, amen. We got to start back from the beginning. Where did we stray? Where did this whole mess happen? Well, chronologically, I want us to start in Exodus chapter 18. I've preached on this passage. This is Moses as he was obviously judging the people, leading the people. And his father-in-law basically came to visit Moses and saw all the pressure, all the things he was dealing with, trying to govern this many people. And in Exodus chapter 18, I want you to look at verse 17, and Moses' father-in-law said unto him, "The thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away, both thou and this people." Look at verse 19. "Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee." Notice, "Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God." In other words, you be the go-between to God for these people. In verse 20, "Thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way therein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide," notice this, "out of all the people, able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens." This is a system of leadership that we still use nowadays. Our government system is kind of as bad and twisted as it's become. It's based on this, that one person can't do it all, so there are leaderships over different groups, and the tier continues to go up to where now, obviously, we have a president. And under that president, we have Congress, and we have, the Senate. We got all kinds of things, and we got nothing but a mess. But that's basically based on this system, that one man can't do it all. So if one man can't do it all, the people that are chosen to be leaders, if you'll notice in this passage, first, are supposed to be able to do it. Able men. Second, they're supposed to fear God. Well, that wipes out 75% of it, doesn't it? Third, they're supposed to be men of truth. Well, we almost lost the rest of them right there, didn't we? I had to say all this before we have these politicians come to our church. Notice this, hating covetousness. Wow. Place such over them. These are the kind of individuals that are supposed to be leading. Now, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 1. And I'm doing this chronologically. It should be easy for you to get to. You say, what is all this about? Well, you have your paper. And everybody asks, how am I supposed to pray? We always say, pray for this election. Pray for this. Pray for this. Pray for that. Today, I want to teach you and show you, I believe, exactly how we should pray. And I mean prayer based on biblical principles taken straight from verses. But I got to give you this background. How did we stray? Look at Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 13. We find here again, leadership. Take you wise men and understanding and known, which means you've tested them, you know them, you're familiar with them among your tribes, and I will make them rulers over you. So already in Exodus, they're supposed to be able, they're supposed to fear God, they're supposed to be honest men of truth, they're supposed to hate covetousness, which means they're not interested in their own agenda, their own cause, they're interested in the people and taking care of them. In Deuteronomy, we find they're supposed to be wise men, they're supposed to be understanding, they're supposed to know how things work, and they're supposed to be educated on that, and they're supposed to be known among you. In other words, we're supposed to know who we vote for. Deuteronomy 17. Turn there quickly. Now, I don't like doing this because usually about the third or fourth passage, you lose everybody else. But you'll stick with me, I promise you. Deuteronomy 17. Verse 14 says this, when thou art come unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt possess it, and shalt dwell therein, and shalt say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations that are about me. Thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. From among thy brethren shalt thou set king over thee. Notice this, thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. But he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt. That means we're not going to regress back into bondage. Whoever you pick as leaders should be taking you forward into freedom through God's grace, not back into bondage. Have you noticed our country is heading straight back into bondage? Now, notice this, and please get this. To end that he should multiply horses, for as much as the Lord hath said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way. Look at verse 17. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away. What's the principle here? Well, obviously in these days there was a lot of what we would call polygamy. There's a lot of multiple wives and things. And he says, leaders, you shouldn't have that, because you know what's going to happen. He's going to get home, and every one of them wives is going to tell him and convince him of something else. And he said, you need men that know exactly what God wants, and that's their focus. Understand. Now, he's saying this, and notice this, the end of verse 17, neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. In other words, he's not to use this leadership role to enable him to make more money and to get more things. You all agree with that? Look at verse 18. And it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book. Wow. Of that which is before the priests and Levites. Do you get that? God's word. When he sits down to be king, he needs to have a copy of God's word. Notice this. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. Wow. Whoever's in leadership needs to get a copy of God's word, needs to read it every day, needs to learn it, needs to get the principles from it, and that's how they're supposed to govern. Wouldn't that be great? Deuteronomy 28, Just a couple verses here, but I want you to hang on. We're almost to the pivotal point here. Deuteronomy 28, after all this instruction, now he says this. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. He said, any nation, God said, who puts me first, follows my law, keeps my commandments, governs according to my word, I'll put thee above thy nations. How was America founded? On Christian ethics. Notice verse 15, same chapter. And he gives a whole bunch of things. But look at verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. And he continues with all the curses. And by the way, our country is experiencing curses. God said this would happen. Okay. Biggest passage yet. 1 Samuel 8. 1 Samuel 8. I've got to give you, where did we stray? How did this all... What we're getting ready to do in 2 weeks is a result of all that this is built up and then 1 Samuel 8. 1 Samuel 8 is obviously God's chosen people, Israel. God had been their king. God had led them through the wilderness. God had done all these things. God had been faithful. God had been their king. 1 Samuel 8, look at verse 1. And it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Look at verse 3. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre or money, and took bribes and perverted judgment. Boy. Took bribes. Perverted judgment. You endorse me, I'll make sure I do this for you. Look at verse 4. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah and said unto him, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. You know, America's great because America is unique. But America's leaders are trying to make us like other countries now. Now notice this. I think the motive in some ways was right because I'm like, well, Samuel wasn't king. He was judge. God was the king, and his sons were perverted, and the people thought, well, you know what? It'll fix all this. Let's just give us a king, a person, a human being that we can actually see, touch, feel, hear, and we don't want God to be our king anymore. We want man to be king. Notice, they just said, make us a king like all the other nations. They had God as their king. That's as good as you can get. Now look at verse 6. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, God says, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. According to all the works they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherein they have forsaken me, served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit ye protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of king that shall reign over them. God says, all right, do what they've asked, but before, make sure they know what they're getting when they get a human being to be their king. Now, beginning in verse 10, Samuel tells them all the bad things they're going to face when they change God out as their king and make man a king. And I'm not going to take the time. You need to read it, but look at verse 19. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us, listen to this, and fight our battles. Are you kidding me? Yeah. God had won every battle he had ever fought for them. Now they wanted a man to fight their battles for them. Look at verse 21. Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them, or repeated them, told them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto their voice and make them a king. Now you look at me. In less than a couple weeks, we are going to be voting on a president. And the reason is because of 1 Samuel chapter 8. Yes, sir. Now you look at me. We have people in charge now because we didn't want God in charge then.
Yes, sir. You're right.
God always designed it that he was to be the king. He was to be the head. That's God's word teaches that principle from the first word of it to the last word of it. God's design was always that God would be in charge, that God would be king. But we men and women and flesh and humans, we don't want God to reign over us. So we decided we want man to be king. We want someone else to be over us. Now listen to me. This is a system that God did not prefer. The only way things will ever work out right is if God is the king and everyone else answers to him. But us men decided that we wanted a man to be king, and God abided by our wishes. God said, all right, make them a king. Listen to me. Our whole voting system, our whole government system of a president and whatever, you go to any nations of a king and princes and all this stuff, look at me. They are all man-made systems, and they will not work. Now, I know some of you are like, what are you talking about, preacher? I want you to get this. Please, we keep trying to change the leaders instead of asking God to change the people that vote them in. As long as you have human leaders, you're going to have faults. You're going to have failures. You're going to have sin. You're going to have flesh. You're going to have dishonesty. You're going to have all that. Why? Because God never wanted that. God was supposed to be king. God is King of kings and Lord of lords. But we decided we wanted man in charge. So we have gotten what we wanted. I'm not trying to discourage you, depression. I'm not saying that, listen, there are good people that get in office and we ought to try our hardest. God told us in his word already that I've read you, this is how you are to choose leaders. But we weren't supposed to choose who was king. God was king. But after we removed him, now we are stuck with what we wanted. From that point on, look at me, God ordained leaders. God ordained authority. That's why Romans chapter 13, you have that passage there on your sheet. Let me just read it to you. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. You say, well, preacher, that don't make sense because there's people in power right now, but they're not of God. They don't have anything to do with God. They totally disagree with God. Look at me. God's not ordaining that person. He ordained that position. He ordains leadership. Why? Because that's what we wanted. So, listen to me, get this. God wanted to be king. We didn't want him as king. We wanted man to be king. And God said, all right, if that's what you want, then I'll let man be your king. But guess what? If this is what you want, I'm telling you right now, you're going to have to subject yourself to it. If you don't want my authority, you want his authority, it's still authority, and you're going to have to answer to it. That's why you and I have laws that we think are absolutely dumb. But we still have to abide by them. Why? Because they're godly? Because they're of the... No, they couldn't be more against the Bible. But because we decided we want men as leaders, and now we get what we wanted. So everybody's wanting to try to fix everything, and folks, I'm here to tell you, the system's flawed because man is flawed. And where it all started wrong in 1 Samuel 8 is exactly what's still wrong now. Look at me. The only way to make it right is for God to be king. It's the only way to make it right. Can I tell you something? We can't change leaders. God can.
Yes, sir.
You hear me?
Yes, sir.
We can talk to them until we're blue in the face. But they're going to have 50 more people talk to them on the other side. For every one of us that teach conservative Christian principles, there's 100 people in their ear telling them other things. This system is flawed because man is flawed, and man is flawed because of sin. We have gotten what we wanted.
Yeah, you're right.
And all these years, God should be king, but he's not. He made them a king. Now, you say, preacher, okay, well, I appreciate the really encouraging message this morning. Thank you for living positive and joyful. Now, as I leave and depress myself half to death. No. That's where we strayed. You got to understand. Why are we in a mess? Why is America getting worse and worse? Because we got what we wanted. We wanted another king. And from that moment, it was doomed. Because that system's not going to work. You know why? It only works right when God is king. So then the next question people always ask this is, well, how am I supposed to pray? Am I even supposed to vote? Am I even supposed to get involved? How am I supposed to do this? Oh yes. Now listen, I want you to get this on your sheet. And this is why I want you to keep it. Because everybody's, what we do is we always get up and say, you need to pray for our country. Well, how? What are we supposed to pray for? Hey, you need to pray for this election. Well, and what? What am I supposed to ask for specifically? If you're like me growing up in church, people make statements and I have all these questions. Well, it's just a broad statement. Well, tell me specifically what I'm supposed to do. And what does the Bible say about this? And so that's just the way I think. And so I want you to understand, and I encourage you to this morning, I just want to give you these. And I want you to look at these verses if you can. Now, if you don't feel like turning all of them, I understand I'm going to read them. But you need to look at this, and I want you to have it so that you can go back through it, because as you pray for our country, I think that we should be praying different than you think we should be praying. Number one, on your sheet, I want you to notice this, Psalm 22, just two verses there. If you can turn there, you've already got these passages ahead of time, and I would have put the verses on there, but it was just too many. I would have had to give you five sheets of paper if we would have done it. Psalm 22 in verse 27 and 28, listen to what it says. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, shall return unto the Lord. And all the kindreds of all the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. Prayer number one that we should be praying during this election time for our country is this. Lord, we acknowledge that you are sovereign and in control. Can I tell you, that's the first thing you and I should tell the Lord when we pray for anything.
Yes, sir, you're right.
God, you are sovereign and you are in control. You know, for us to, oftentimes, the way we talk about things, they are getting worse and worse. But look at me, folks, they're getting worse and worse because we have people in charge. And if we were in charge, they would have gotten worse and worse too.
Yes, sir, you're right.
It all messed up when we took God out of control. When we moved him out of the throne and put a man in, it's always been bad. But you and I have got to understand God is still in control. He's still sovereign. And he needs to know that we know that. Number two, 2 Chronicles chapter 7. You don't need to turn there. You know this. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. So according to this passage, not even going through the whole repentance and turning, we've already dealt with all that. Prayer number two is this, Lord, forgive us because we have failed you. Not the liberal crowd.
That's right. You're right.
Lord, forgive us because we have failed you, and please heal our nation despite our failure.
Amen.
We come to God sometimes demanding that he fix things as if we weren't involved in ruining it.
Yes, you're right.
Amen.
Y'all agree with that?
Yeah.
We come to God as if, well, it's a mess, God. You need to fix this. And it's like, you know, and I'm not God, we all ought to be thankful for that. But I can imagine God saying, well, wait a minute, are you at least going to acknowledge that you're to blame? Are you at least going to acknowledge that you have failed? God didn't remove himself from the throne, the people did. So you and I, we've got to humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face. We've got to admit, God, I've failed you. We have failed you. But would you please heal our nation despite my failure?
Yeah, amen. Well said.
It means, God, we don't deserve you to fix anything because we're the one that messed it up. But we're asking for your mercy.
Yeah.
Notice this third, Job chapter 12. You're like, Job? Election? Job? Yeah. Love this. Job chapter 12, this is what Job says about the Lord. I love this. Verse 17, He leadeth counselors away spoiled, and maketh the judges fools. He looseth the bond of kings, and girdeth their loins with a girdle. He leadeth princes away spoiled, and overthroweth the mighty. He removeth away the speech of the trusty, and taketh away the understanding of the aged. He poureth contempt on princes, and weakeneth the strength of the mighty. He discovereth deep things out of the darkness, and bringeth out to light the shadow of death. Listen to what Job says about God. He increaseth the nations and destroyeth them. He enlargeth the nations and straighteneth them again. Wow. What is Job saying here? He's saying, let me tell you something. God does what God wants to do. He is over the kings. He is over the princes. He is stronger than them. He is mightier than them. He doesn't answer to the president. The president answers to God. That's why Daniel chapter 2, listen to what Daniel has to say. I'll just read this to you. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. Prayer number 3. Lord, would you restore our nation and remove those leaders who govern in a manner that is against your will. These verses just say God sets up kings and takes them down. Look at me. What we often pray is, God, would you remove so-and-so because I don't like them. That's not prayer that works. That's prayer after the... Look at me. What we have to pray is, God, you remove leaders that govern against your will. That way it's about God. We don't want people removed because we don't like them or they don't believe like we do. We want people removed because they're against God's will. So here's what we ask. The Bible says God takes them down. God sets them up. God's over them. God can move whoever he decides to move. And that's why we as Christians should be praying. God, we're asking you to restore. The Bible says in Job 12:23 that he increaseth the nations and he destroys them. He enlarges the nations and straighteneth them again. God's able to build our nation. God's able to restore it. God's able to do great things in it. So God, would you restore our nation and would you remove those leaders that hinder that and go against your will. That's biblical prayer. Notice number 4, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, 2 verses here. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. Listen to this. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. Not everybody's a believer. Not everybody believes God's word. Not everybody follows that. And folks, look at me. Not everybody's a Christian. And not everybody thinks God's word is true. So what do we pray?
Thank you for listening today. We hope you received a blessing from the broadcast. Our church is located at 4520 Old Hollow Road in Kernersville, North Carolina. You may also contact us by phone at 336-993-5192 or via the web at kerwinbaptistchurch.com. Our service times are Sunday school at 9:45, morning worship at 10:45 on Sundays, and 6 o'clock p.m. Sunday evening. Also on Wednesdays, we have our midweek prayer service at 7 and the Awana Clubs for our children. Thank you for listening to the Kerwin broadcast today. God bless you.